Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You found us. You're back, and welcome aboard. We're hoping you're listening to us live as we come to you here from our Frat House Sports Garage, our Race Trim Motorsports Garage on a Friday night. A Friday night. How about that, Brandon? We're getting ready for night racing already.
Yes, we are.
In this early part of the NASCAR season. And as we go live, we've got Cup qualifying going on. For me, it's going on over my shoulder. Possibly for you, Brandon, you're able to get a better look. But here we are. This is great. I love it. Under the lights, you know, that's what we're going to have tomorrow anyway, you know, in the bigger state of Texas. Now, in fact, for our audience, Brandon, normally we're mixing up the coffee and we're hoping to have some donuts, but here it is on a Friday night. It's going to be more like,
yeah,
give me a slice of the pizza. I just
sounds
filled
good.
Up another beer. Yeah, all right. But you don't have to worry about me having too many drinks.
I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah, it really doesn't affect me almost ever. Well, Brandon, welcome back to you. We've got Frat House Mike in behind the glass. He's waving at me, and he's going to run the board for us a while. He will be joining us in a bit to talk some NHRA chat, as those folks are kicking it up after the Easter holiday. That's what we all had, was the Easter holiday, and a week off from motorsports and pretty much a week off from everything. And Brandon, I hope your holiday was wonderful. Out there in our listening world, we hope you enjoyed a holiday, the seasonal holiday, whether it was Easter, Passover, or whatever you may call it. We hope it was a good one, and welcome back to the garage. It's good to be here, Brandon. I'm getting stoked here with the qualifying going on.
Yeah, man, me too. I'm keeping an eye on it, and we get a little taste tonight with the Xfinity race. Should
yes.
be pretty good. We got lots of big hitters in it. Keselowski's running, Junior's running. So we got some, you know, we'll have a little sampling tonight of what we're going to see tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bushwhacking, as they used to call it back in the day, right? With it being the old Bush series. You know, and that's the thing. I'll be honest, you know, I digress for a moment. You know, they talk about the Xfinity series, and that's fine. That's what it is now. But I think if we refer to that series from last year and prior years, we should call it what it used to be called. Why do we have to call it the Xfinity series of 2006? He was a 2006 Rookie of the Year Xfinity driver. Well, wait a second. In 2006, it wasn't the Xfinity series. It was Nationwide. Is there some contractual thing, do you think, with that? I mean, am I being a little picky here?
I
mean,
NASCAR,
we still refer to it as the Winston Cup. We still refer to it as a Busch series because we go back in time and we refer to it by its name that it was at that time. But I hear them already using Xfinity in the past season tense, and I don't think that's exactly kosher.
I think NASCAR grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of something.
347-826-9964. Call us up and call us out. Go ahead, Brandon. What do you think?
I think it's part of the deal that they present when they present, you know, a package to, say, an Xfinity and say, hey, we want you to be our title sponsor. And, you know, from this point forward, this series will be called the Xfinity series in every reference. In other words, if they have to refer to it in the past tense, they're going to refer to it as the Xfinity because it's probably contractually part of the deal.
Now, it's probably something new.
No,
well,
I think it probably was when
it was always the case. Well,
it was probably
I mean,
that way with Nationwide. I'll be honest with you. Before Winston Cup and Busch series, I don't remember another sponsor prior to it. So,
right.
You know.
Well, there you go. So we're not dealing with a large sample size here,
yeah.
Are we? And really?
Yeah, we're dealing with three. You know, every once in a while, I still call the camping truck series Craftsman Truck Series because that's what it
right.
was for
there
me.
You years. Go. Well, yeah, but here's the thing. When I see photo credits, because, you know, you see it online, the old NASCAR, the old stock car sites and those that keep the heritage and that and bring it forward. But they refer to them by the series name as it was then. And
It just depends on the context, I think.
Yeah,
If they're showing you, like, a picture with the trophy, yeah, because the trophy's probably going to reflect what the sponsor was. I remember the old Winston Cup trophies had Winston Cups, you know.
They'd actually said Winston on there. Right. Yeah, exactly.
In big red letters with white background, just like their, you know, their colors. So, you know, they tend to do that. And Sprint, I believe, also has yellow with the word Sprint on their cup somewhere. I think Nextel did as well when it was Nextel. But Nextel
right.
kind of, you know, got absorbed by Sprint.
Yeah,
they were
in and out in a short period, right,
pretty much. Well, I think what happened was
were
Nextel
they 6 years,
signed,
5 years, Nextel?
Well, I think they signed a 10-year deal. And the last two, I think, became Sprint because Sprint
right,
bought
so then,
Nextel.
So they were Nextel a while. Longer than I thought. I thought it was 5 or 6. But, yeah, it sounds
maybe,
like more
well,
like
it
7
could
or 8.
Have been,
okay.
I kind of remember the original deal being a 10-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Sprint signed
that's
another
signed.
10-year deal.
Yeah,
so.
That's what they've been signing. You're right. I mean, and I believe now Xfinity has signed on theirs as a 10-year. So that must be something NASCAR likes. Well, once again, we'll holler out 347-826-9964 if you want to climb aboard and chat with us. Frat House Mike, if I didn't do it, open up the chat room for us if you would. So folks can climb in that way too. If you are Skype capable and you want to hit the Skype button and you're listening from your computer, you have a headset and a microphone, what have you, feel free to Skype over to us. That way you'll join in the fun right here live as though you were sitting right next to us. And, well, here we go. Today's birthday. Actually, is it today? Yeah, it is today. I was thinking it was yesterday, but it is today. Casey Kane, right? Talk
yep.
about, you know, old series. He won the Nextel Cup, and he was the Nextel Cup Rookie of the Year back in 2004. He's got over 400 races under his belt. Reasonably successful numbers. I mean, he's not setting the world on fire, but... Casey Kane turns 35 today. He actually has practiced well all day, and he's run reasonably well, Brandon, no, for Hendrick.
Yeah,
I mean, in the leaderboard, he's in that top 10 right now.
It seems like ever since he came to Hendrick, he became like a smaller fish in a bigger pond. When
mm-hmm.
he was the number 9, you know, Dodge, factory number 1 team, you know, he was a perennial contender. I mean, he won races and, you know, he was a solid threat. He was always in the quote unquote championship picture, at least, you know, at some level. Since he came to Hendrick, you know, Hendrick, it's tough because, you know, he's playing with, you know, likes of Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and Dale Jr., even though he's not won anything, you know, he's got half the grandstand cheering for him, you know, so it kind of puts,
sure.
you know, Casey Kane, you know, a distant third, fourth on the list there as far as, you know, drivers. But I think he's going to, you know, I think he's doing well. I think he's got what it takes to run well in this series. Will he ever win a championship? If he catches fire at the end of the season, maybe.
Yeah, it can be timing. We know that now
yeah,
with the new
yeah.
format. Yeah, with the new format, all you need are, you know, 4 properly timed races in those last 10, and you could win the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Tony Stewart showed that the 1 year. I mean, he hit the chase and won. I think he just hit the number. I think he won 4 out of the 10 of the chase races and ended
right.
up winning a championship.
That was all it took.
You get
and
hot
listen,
at the right time of year.
There you go. You know, we'll throw the acknowledgement now for the last race that we were all together and talked about. That would have been going into Martinsville. Who did we see win that? Finally, for Joe Gibbs, was the first win for Joe Gibbs' team in 2015, and it was the first for Denny Hamlin since May of 2014 when he won at Talladega. Denny Hamlin rolled it home, his 5th win at Martinsville. That's really great, right? 25th win in the Cup Series. And how about it? That Martinsville was really a Joe Gibbs kind of class of the field test, wasn't it, Brandon? I mean, heck, we had Kenseth, Reagan, Edwards, Hamlin. They were all top 20 cars for Joe Gibbs, finally breaking through, right?
It was good to see it because, you need to have a little bit of brand, you know, all the brands mix getting into mix. I mean, we've seen it with Chevy this year, and we've seen it with the Fords, at least the Penske Fords anyway, maybe not the Roush Fords yet, but the Penske Fords have been up front and winning races. It's good to see Toyota get up in there. And, you know, Joe Gibbs has been through, you know, as an organization, they've had a lot of, you know, distress early in the season. I mean, Kyle Busch,
adversity.
You know,
mm-hmm.
first race of the year in Xfinity Series, and he's out, you know, with two broken, you know, appendages. And I think he had an ankle and a foot on opposite legs. So, I mean, you know, that's a pretty tough road. But
yeah, he's making remarkable recovery, too, interestingly.
Yeah, they're holding their own as an organization, you know, mm-hmm. for the most part. I expected to see a little more out of Carl Edwards early this year. I thought he would be a bigger force, but, you know, Hamlin got the win. Kenseth has looked good. I mean, Kenseth, mm-hmm. you know, we all forget he won that first, you know, practice race down at Daytona.
Well, right.
The
he
Unlimited,
won Speed
so,
Week. Right. The
yeah.
Unlimited, exactly, as part of that Speed Weeks. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that they've been around. They've just not been running as dominantly. So one thing I think a lot of people got to look at, too, when it comes to Gibbs, as Kyle Busch is aggressive. He wants to lead every lap out there. All the other guys for Gibbs are not necessarily, you know, they'll bide their time. Kenseth will bide his time. Edwards will bide his time till the end of the race. You know, they're not going to necessarily go out there and try to lead every lap like Kyle Busch does. So, you know, that may make the Gibbs organization look a little less potent than it has. But, you know, I think they're doing okay, and they're going to do well throughout the year. The team I'd like to see figure it out is Michael Waltrip Racing. They got their head up there, firmly inserted up their back ends. They need to, you know, do something to make those cars run better. And I realize, you know, they're missing Brian Vickers with, you know, the blood clotting things, but that doesn't explain Clint Bowyer. I mean, Clint Bowyer was a perennial guy in the Trace, and he's nowhere near the front. You know, so he's always done well points-wise. He doesn't usually wreck a lot of cars, but he's just – you're not seeing him. We're not seeing him in the top 10 very often, top 5 almost never. And I'd like to see them, you know, come back a little.
Yeah, think so. I mean, they're the ones that ushered Toyota into the whole thing going back into 2007. They were the first ones to jump on board as a full-time Toyota represented professional race team. I think Gibbs came along, what, maybe 2 years later or 3 years later?
I don't think it was too far. I think they came pretty quickly.
Was it almost the next year?
Gibbs was annoyed with General Motors because they wanted to be, you know, a higher ranked Chevy team. And they were, you know, clearly third or fourth. I mean, Hendrick and Childress were always going
ahead
to be above them.
Yeah,
and
they were carrying the banter. Right,
you know,
exactly.
Stuart
right.
Haas kind of wedged their way in there only because they're more or less a satellite Hendrick team. But, you know, and I think that's why that was the impetus for Gibbs. They's like, hey, look, we want to be, you know, the main team getting all the factory support. So they went on board with Toyota. And I think that was the impetus for that switch.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I'll tell you. Yeah, I do. I do. I'll tell you. I must agree with you. I think it's great to have the equity and the parity of all three manufacturers. And, you know, again, hats off to the Gibbs crowd because, you know, apart from Hamlin coming in first, Kenseth came in fourth, Reagan came in fifth. Holy crow. So, you know, you got three of the top five cars from the same stable, and Edwards pulling 17th. There was a very brief period, I think you'll recall, Brandon, with maybe 40 or 50 to go before Edwards spun out. They all four were in the top 10, and it was quite exciting for a very brief minute. I did share up a link, and I want to just make mention of the one link that I did share up, and that was a piece that was written by our last guest, Brandon. You'll remember we had Reed Spencer join us from he's the lead writer at NASCAR Wire Services, and it just so happened that Sunday, shortly after that race, up came the link, so I shared it over. Because Reed was kind enough. We'll have to try and get him back as a guest with us again. going forward. He was a lot of fun going into Martinsville and giving us an idea of what was going on the ground. Now, another side of it from the that Martinsville race, apart from the winner, obviously, you know, despite all the odds going into it, Brandon, because that's a strong, that was considered a very strongly dominated Hendrick track there. I believe that Martinsville, right, Gordon has 8 wins. They were touting
Johnson
had 8 wins. Of course, Hamlin was up there because he had 4. But Junior had at least 1, if not 2.
Junior probably had Xfinity Series wins there as well.
Oh, he probably did. I'm right, because you're
it
correct.
It would have been
once
Bush throw, back then.
Once you throw those in, yeah, thank you very much. Exactly. I appreciate that. Once you throw those in, then, of course, it sort of mushrooms. But speaking strictly Cup. Not a good Hendrick day there at Martinsville. Gordon finished 9th, and he more or less was like the leader of the Hendrick stable. But really, right behind him, there he was, Casey Kane, ran a respectable 11. But way back, West Virginia is how far you have to go to find Johnson, who was in 35th, 32 laps down. Unfortunately, Junior as well had some tumultuous experiences and spins and smashed. I think the back end of his car finally got ramped. He went up 36, 47 laps down. And the rookie debut of Chase Elliott was rough and rugged and raggedy and ugly and awful and 38th finish and 73 laps down. And that's okay. He's a youngster, but I got, keep it real, right? Keep it simple, stupid. He's got a ways to go.
I heard a rumor his crew chief was telling him, go back out there on caution and hit the pace car because it's the only thing on the track you haven't hit yet.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
Gotta bust the guy's stones a little.
Yeah,
that's an
a little
Drake
bit.
Joke.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yep. Regan Smith, hey, listen, he hopped in the 42. The guy's a tremendous substitute driver. If you need a driver, he's your guy. He's going to be driving Ubers in the city soon, I hear. Because that's how good he is. Yeah, he's great at getting there, and he'll get you there and get you square in like no time at all. He brought it the 42 for Chip Ganassi to a top 20 finish. That was very nice, 16th. Kyle Larson, what do you make of it, youngster? I guess they say it was dehydration. Brandon, he's been cleared. He's running at Texas. He's not doing Xfinity, I don't believe, but he is running at the Cup level. I mean, the Larson thing was a little bit scary, considering all the other, health issues we've seen run through NASCAR. Everybody's dropping with some kind of plague. What do you think?
Well, I did see an article today that was posted. I guess he had a press conference or some kind of, at least a meeting and with somebody from the press, and they put together a little story that he's trying to improve his daily fitness, like he's trying to change his lifestyle a little bit. I don't know if he maybe didn't keep he's a younger guy, so he's probably not feeling the need to go hit the gym as much as a guy like Carl Edwards or Mark Martin was famous for years as the most fit guy on the track, even late into his 50s. The guy could was like a little rock muscle, because the guy was a constant fitness freak. And I think he'll be okay. I mean, Kyle's a young guy, and they probably did, every possible test they could think of, and they didn't find anything. I think it was probably just, he probably was doing too much and not stopping to eat and drink as he should and keep himself, going. So if he's paying more attention, I think he'll be fine. Hopefully it's an isolated deal and he'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's hoping, because I have a particular fondness of that Chip Ganassi group myself. Finally, I guess we'll burrow down to it here. It was it bubbling up, or did it bubble up right after Martinsville? But Richard Childress Racing still obviously has some work to do. Paul Menard was, at the current level, Paul Menard sits 23rd in points. Newman, and we're going to isolate on Newman, obviously, has fallen to 27th in points, and Dylan is 41st. Those were the finish times for the Martinsville race. Menard 23rd, Newman 27th, Dillon 41. Childress has some issues with engines, evidently. We saw Dillon, Austin Dillon go out. We saw A.J. Allmendinger also. Both had oil problems where something blew up in the motors. Those are Childress motors that they're using.
The one positive, though, is they were the highest finishing Chevy with Martin Truex Jr., which is essentially
Very good. Yeah, that dovetails in. He's been running well, has he not?
Yes.
Right, and he's using the Childress essentially the Childress equipment.
Actually, his crew chief was a lead engineer at RCR, believe it or not. So he actually came through.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
his current crew chief. Yes. He was a pretty high up engineer at Richard Childress, so that gives them a nice, good basis for sharing data, et cetera, et cetera. And that's probably leading to, Truex is running better this year. I mean, it actually started at the end of last year. If you look back, he actually had a few nice finishes towards the end of last year, and they've just carried it forward and, improved. So, they got to look at that as a plus for the Childress group anyway. I mean,
we love you.
Yeah, well, that would be Frat House Mike, I think, is putting that on there for his Martin Truex Jr. Well, at 231 points, he's in sixth place on the leaderboard. He's got a top five, just one, but he's strung together, and we've talked about this, continuously good finishes. He's got six consecutive top tens. Well, we've only run six races, so he's made the top 10 in all six. So that's a nice little streak that Martin Truex Jr. has going for him. Now, the prior number eight was one Ryan Newman, and boy, oh boy, we better subtract a few points, at least if we're doing math, according to Helton and France, because evidently, and I don't think we'll ever know, will we, Brennan? Evidently, there was, tire manipulation, there was tampering, according to what NASCAR findings are. It has, pretty substantial ramifications. Now, looking at the Richard Childress 31 team, they've appealed it, obviously, and I think we would say that was expected, right?
Scheduled on the 16th. Appeal's going to be on the 16th.
Okay.
Unfortunately, and this is where I think NASCAR's missing the boat with this a little bit, they've never really said what they did. We have no pictures. We have no, statements as to, they tampered with the tire. What does that mean? I mean, we heard all kind of, rumors that they were doing the, drilling holes and bleeding air across. But, that's leaving us to assume at this point, considering we don't know. So I'd like to see a little more out of this from NASCAR. Maybe the appeals process will bring some of this to light, I hope. I'd like to know more so, what was involved. What did they do? It's tough when you get this information and, you got the crew chief's got a six-race suspension looming over his head. I'm sure, RCR knows what they did or what they're accused of doing. But, I think they should make that more a little I realize.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you, and I go back and forth on it myself. And it kind of goes to a question that I guess I was tossing over in my own head as we've taken this week away from the sport. Right, we've had our off week. Well, NASCAR had their off week of racing as well. But in fact, what you're pointing out there, I think is valid for. From the standpoint of the fan and from the standpoint of the sport, I think there should be as much, the buzzword, transparency, right? That's the buzzword.
Right.
There should be some transparency, though. And interestingly enough, in this off week, while NASCAR has been quiet in Daytona at their headquarters and they've been quiet in North Carolina at their other headquarters, the controversies really didn't stop. And this kind of goes into, the Richard Childress, what was done, what wasn't done. Oh, we found out, but we're not going to tell you. But it was awful. Trust us. Kind of goes into the phantom caution, kind of goes into the questions that some NASCAR fans have. Then a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when we were all together, I kind of quizzed, do you think there's going to ever be pushback from you know, I guess, advocacy groups against the Kurt Busch thing. Well, during this week off, now we've heard that, because there have been a few domestic violence groups which are, again, trying to revisit in the media NASCAR's attention to the idea of domestic violence. So during this quiet week, what should have been an off week, we've heard that kind of come back in again. And then, I guess, to further trumpet, you know, talk about a group that can't get out of their own way, NASCAR had to come out and make their opinion, their feelings known about the Indiana law. And while I guess I can understand they're trying to do the responsible thing, my problem with that was, well, number one, you're not based in Indiana. And number two, if you read the law, you don't really have to make a statement about it. And number three, I guess if you are going to make a statement about it, you might be alienating your longtime Christian right-wing base that gave you the following in NASCAR to begin with. In other words, I don't even think NASCAR should have said anything about it.
I don't do that!
Yeah, I really wish that's what Franz would have said. Or had he made the statement, why didn't he just make it in his own name? Why did he do it in NASCAR's? But in other words, it's been a quiet week, Brandon, but some of these things are percolating underneath still. You know, the pushback on the violence, the wonder of is the sport fixed? Is it rigged? Is it transparent? And then, oh, by the way, let's talk about, you know, religious freedom and how we, you know, what we think about it. And this is all stuff that makes longtime fans, I think, want to just get further away from it. And I think it disenfranchises people, and it's counterproductive to trying to grow a new fan base if that's what NASCAR wants to do.
Hey, you might be right on that. And, you know, if they just would have bided their time a little bit, you know, Indiana did come out and, you know, change the wording of the law to, you know, make it not be as offensive to any group in particular. I think they added some kind of language to the law saying that nobody can be discriminated or whatever. You know, the whole thing was probably pretty stupid to begin with. But, you know, NASCAR really didn't. They have one race in that state. I mean, really, do you really need to make
that
kind of comments?
I can understand. I guess I could understand, like, the Indianapolis racetrack.
Right,
I could understand maybe them saying, listen, we have a position and we want to share our position about this because it directly affects us. I can get that. But, I mean, I wasn't quite sure what NASCAR was planning there and why they felt compelled to do something there, because it's sort of like, I don't know. It was just one of those.
I don't like confrontations.
Yeah, maybe that's really what it comes down to. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm still kind of scratching my head. I'm just scratching my head.
Well, the problem is I think organizations like NASCAR and the NFL and, you know, all the major sporting organizations, they face all kind of pressure if they don't say something when, you know, something like this happens. So maybe they just kind of caved and said, all right, well, we'll release our statement. The one I was shocked was the Indy Racing League, which is basically, you know, centered around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, you know, that's their prize, you know, race, the Indianapolis 500. They never made a statement. I went looking and I never saw a statement from the Indy Racing League. So I'm kind of surprised as to, you know, that one.
Well, there you go. Oft I've heard defended, littlest said is soonest mended. And maybe they realize, you know, you can't where you eat. And Indy probably said, you know what? We don't even have to make a statement. Unless somebody solicits one, let's just let this thing go, you know.
Well,
I think folks in Indianapolis, you know, I think, and Indiana, I think those people understand their governor maybe a little bit better than we do, who are outside of that actual environment. And of course, what are we going to buy into? We're going to buy into the latest tweet, the latest chirp, the latest media glitzed, put together position of, hey, here's what they're saying about this in Indiana. And they're putting that outside of the state. But in fact, those people that actually live there are saying, oh, man, those people, they just don't get us at all. So, and as you said, it was relatively amended to be less than you know, awful. It wasn't like they were executing young children there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. 347-826-9964. Anybody's out there, give us a call and chime in with us. We're going to talk a little more about NASCAR and going to Texas. Go ahead, Brandon. What else?
I was just going to put a little bow on it, believe it or not. A lot of the NHRA teams are based out of Indianapolis, including John Force Racing, which is one of the biggest, and I believe Schumacher Racing also is as well. And NHRA chose not to make a statement either. So, I don't know. Maybe NASCAR is the only one, I guess, that has to bow to the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, that is interesting. Well, we get Frat House Mike on for the NHRA thing. You remind him of that, and maybe he'll have a comment as well. Because I don't know, I just found the whole – I found their whole need to make a statement. I found that just a little bit subject of ridicule, and so I've done that. And now I guess I'll give it up and stop and give them a break. Okay, here we are. We're at Texas. Now, this is
–
I've got it over my shoulder. I guess we're going into round three. I might be wrong, but I think we're about ready to go into round three of qualifying for tomorrow's cup race, which will be in the evening, as we know, 7:30 on Fox. Duck Commander, the Duck Commander 500. Are we going to have those ridiculous duck people that are on TV? Aren't they? Isn't there a TV show with duck people and they have long beards and look
duck
like
Duck Dynasty? Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, I can never remember. I guess those duck fellers will be out there with their long beards, and if they played like ZZ Top, I might like them better.
Oh, there you go.
But I digress. So, Brandon, we're at one of the top five fastest tracks, right, pretty much in NASCAR. I mean, I guess we'll throw the plate tracks in there because you really must. They are fast tracks. So you have like the likes of Daytona and Talladega in the top ten fastest, but the top five are ranked as like the first fastest Michigan, second Atlanta, third Texas. Well, here we are. And then, you know, fourth is Daytona, fifth is Charlotte. And that, you know, then you got Talladega, Kansas, Vegas, Fontana, Chicagoland. They kind of fill out in whatever top 10 order you want to have there, according to the media types. We do have some good banking. Asphalt surface, not quite as bad as Kansas, though, right? We probably, I mean, it'll still be a pit strategy thing, and I don't know that NASCAR's going to reduce how many sets of tires even further to teams as they did last week in Martinsville, but this shouldn't be nearly as an abrasive wear out of tires, right, as say Kansas was, even though it's like a similar kind of track, right?
Yeah, they're similar. I think this Texas is more when it was built to be almost a sister track to Charlotte, where it's the same configuration, where I think Kansas's front stretch has a little more arc. It's like round, and this is more like a trioval kind of thing where there's more distinct turns. So it's more like Charlotte as far as the shape. The surface itself has always been good at Texas. I think Texas has probably got the climate that's not as harsh on the track, cause it's probably a little warmer, you know, mean temperature around. So, you know, they probably, you know, their asphalt probably holds up a little better than some of these other tracks we've talked about, you know, that are really rougher. I mean, Michigan's always been a tough one on track surface, and you know, Kansas was pretty bad as well. So I don't think the tires are going to be an issue. I think it's going to be a good race. It's always a good race because, you know, Charlotte was a great track when they built it, and if you're going to pick a track to make a copy of, that's a pretty good one. So, you know, this one's usually a pretty good race.
I
like this track too, because this happens to be the track where Dale Earnhardt Jr. cracked his first win.
Right,
yeah, in the Cup Series,
right,
he got his first win on this track driving for
his father. His father ran in that race, right?
Yep.
His
dad was the car owner. You know, Dale Earnhardt Sr. owned DEI, and you know, he won. I think Junior won 20 some races while his dad was still there.
Yeah,
he won a lot in the beginning of his career. He's just, you know, after his dad passed is when his wins started going away for whatever reason.
Yeah, sort of literally a dark cloud. And I guess I could understand that. you know.
He's looked good the last couple of years. Last year he looked pretty solid, and
he's
had some good runs this year. So he's finally finding his way back.
Yeah, I like Junior. So. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's one of those Hendrick guys I actually could root for. And I don't mind Casey Kane. Obviously, Gordon and Johnson, you know, legacy, understood. That's fine. They will always have their legacy. They are, you know, from a mercenary fantasy standpoint, yeah, it's fun to put them on the roster. You're probably going to have success. Are they my guys? Not really. I'll tell you who are kind of getting to be everybody's guys, and that are some of these kids, though, that we've been watching run. And, you know, I guess tip of the hat to Chris Buescher. He's going to continue to fill in the 34 Ford for Reagan, right?
Yeah,
exactly,
front row
Motorsports. You know, meantime, of course, David Reagan is finding some success in replacement for Kyle Busch. Now, Kyle Busch is looking better and better and better. Of course, his wife is expecting shortly. Most people's impression, mine certainly, would be that Kyle is probably not looking to return before maybe, you know, August or September if he wants to try to just get behind the wheel for next year.
I'm an excellent driver.
Yes, he certainly is, and he's probably been driving that little wheelchair around. I bet he's just hell on wheels with that. I mean, I'd get out of his way. But in the meantime, that leaves David Reagan where he is in a seat. And what's great is, of course, if Reagan could get a win in the Busch M&M 18, even if he returns then to front row, he's still eligible for the chase because the eligibility goes with the driver.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what's very cool for him. So I'd love to see him get one. And final, obviously, shout out. We got to throw it out to Brett Moffitt because Brett Moffitt's going to, obviously, again, sorry, circumstances that Brian Vickers is out of the pilot seat for the 55. But it's great news for Brett Moffitt because he's going to be able to continue to get that continuity, at least with crew, with his chief, with vernacular, with language, with understanding of running the 55 machine. And I listen, all these kids are doing, they're all doing very, very well.
Well,
I don't know how else to say it.
after the first fill-in, where I guess it was Atlanta, he drove the car to like an eighth place finish. I mean, the car owners were out raving about him, you know, and saying, hey, we want to get, you know,
on a very
a
difficult
sponsor
track.
Deal, yeah. We want to get a sponsorship deal so we can put him in full time. They would love to run Moffitt as a third car, I think. I just, you know.
Why can't we just get in the running car?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is because it's run by Michael Waltrip, and it's all flat tires on that car at the moment. You know, I understand they're going through hard times, but my goodness gracious, almighty six alive. I don't know what it's going to take to get that Waltrip team going. They really do need a third car. I would agree with you, Brandon. And I wouldn't mind having Moffitt as a regular pilot. I think some serious thought, too, and this is probably part of what is just fraying the edges of an otherwise loosely fabricated race team, and that is that apart from not finding success, here we are, we're dealing with, you know, potential health issue of Brian Vickers, and it may very well come to fruition that Vickers is going to choose having his own ability to live his life take precedent over, I want to continue to pilot a car for a race team. And if that's the case, instead of us seeing the team expand to three, which I think would be the right thing to do. Plus, they've got to learn how to cotton with Joe Gibbs. I mean, they know that these are two big, high-caliber teams. Why these teams do not get along, why they do not talk to each other, I find just really stupid. So that has to happen as well. But instead of taking a step forward, they might actually just be taking a step sideways. Because if Vickers does not return and Moffitt remains in place, it would appear that I'm not sure what the terms of contract are, but it would appear we can expect Boyer back probably 16, maybe 17 as well before his contract is up for renewal. He might be even longer. I know he signed today with Maxwell House as a primary sponsor with Michael Waltrip, specifically on the 15 car for, I believe, four races going forward this year. They're going to have like the second Martinsville. They're going to have a second Texas. I believe they have Pocono. Like, he gets four. That'll be fully sponsored by Maxwell House. And Waltrip is supposed to run Daytona next year. I believe he runs Talladega with it this year, and he's probably running maybe one other plate race, Homestead maybe or something. I'm not
sure. That relationship, believe it or not,
goes way
back
to like '80s, right? The late '80s.
Michael Waltrip was a rookie in Sprint Cup driving a Maxwell House car.
There you go.
So he
now he also had another primary sponsor, Country Time.
Country Time and Maxwell House were kind of like the co-deals on his car back when it was a number 30. That was his, you know, early entry into Sprint Cup as a rookie.
Well, Frat House Mike wants to know, is that going to be good to the last drop? And my grandfather used to tell me, no, the last drop is always bitter and awful. And, you know, unfortunately, I could see maybe the Michael Waltrip organization dripping down to the very last bitter, awful drop. I certainly hope not. But good looking out there, Frat House Mike. Oh, my. Yes, I digress.
Well,
this might be
an opportunity, though, for Michael Waltrip to, you know, get some more sponsorship on the cars and maybe, you know, extend into that third car again. I mean, be a test run, let's just say, for Maxwell House to give it a go. So that's a good sign. I mean, I don't want to see that team go away.
I don't know.
We need to have two good Toyotas out there, you know, at least two. You know, I mean, Ford's kind of struggling right now with just Penske. Roush is just not doing anything. So it's good to see the brands get a little – boost.
Well,
and you're
no,
right.
Agree.
They don't
and
cooperate.
It goes back to what you said. You need to have, it's nice to see the parity of all three manufacturers. I mean, I, for one, would like to see Dodge come back. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a fourth manufacturer if they could re-enter.
Or a fifth.
I'm with you. The more the merrier, possibly.
Well, we see how some of these
the smaller teams are struggling. If they could simply switch and get a sanctioned manufacturer brand, you know, a BK Racing, and now here comes Dodge, and now BK says, well, you know what, we'll sign up and we'll partner with you, and now BK Racing becomes a Dodge team. Well, now you have brain trust, you have, resource to maybe not only bring the brand in, sort of like Waltrip brought in Toyota, but then, in fact, hey, now you might have, you know, better racing product once again. So, you know, kind of one hand maybe could almost wash the other. Interesting. It's interesting.
I would agree. I think we'll see Dodge back at some point. Dodge, especially Dodge in the truck series, because the Ram truck was always a big player in the truck series. So, you know, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen them yet. Everything you read coming out of, you know, their headquarters is that the brand's doing better. The product, you know, they're selling cars. They're not.
The consumer product seems to be great, right,
right,
Brandon? I mean.
So you would think one would lead to the next eventually. So hopefully someday we'll see, you know, Dodge back in the sport.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. Throw out the number to anybody that's out there and you're listening, if you're alive, if you're breathing, give us a call, won't you? I was hoping to hear from our own Kimber Sue, who's leading our fantasy league. I told her.
Yeah, I know. She's right
ahead
of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. And somebody's got to stop her now, obviously. Somebody's got to put the brakes on Kimber Sue. Also, our friend Liz, who's out there in the Great White North someplace, out there, left coast, and north of us, her AJ Allmendinger continues to run well. Had a very, unfortunately, he had a problem. He had a problem early last week in Martinsville, and his engine hadn't, he had oil leak, and he made a mess, and the whole thing kind of blew up, and I think he ran out of gas, and he had to put his feet through the floorboard like the old Flintstones cars, and he had to, like, run his feet and keep the car going that way back to the garage. Wow. That was a real shame. Yeah, it was really tough. They didn't show it all on Fox, I noticed. Well, there was a KFC commercial was more important. But he's still in the top 19. And, you know, it's funny, Brandon, you do mention the Xfinity series. And interestingly enough, when we look at that, despite the fact that they are completely, and we mentioned it already, off the radar at the Cup level, Roush Fenway has four top 10 Xfinity rides at this point in the standings. So
wow.
Those guys are obviously doing
Roush. Googly moogly.
And I cannot explain it for the life of me.
Well, that's good, though. Think about it.
They're
like
doing
this.
Something right.
They got some good drivers in the flow, in the chain, you know, that are, you know, a little younger right now. They're working their way up. So maybe in a couple years, you know, Roush will be, you know, is a, you know, a leading team. Right now, if you look at their Cup roster, really, they got nothing. Greg Biffle does not excite me. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Trevor Bain was looking okay in the Xfinity series. You know, maybe he can come. This is his rookie, I guess, his full-time. It's at least his first full-time season. I don't know if he's considered.
Yeah, and he's a young
he's
man.
Running for rookie. Yeah, so he might
He's a young man. He's not, it's not as though he's been around the bush. I'm with you. I mean, the grizzled veteran, the seasoned veteran, however you want to say it, I guess grizzled, call him Griswold. The Griswold veteran is Biffle, and we've really got to go back to 2013 or more like even the end of 2012 since we've seen, like, reasonably good success with Biffle and, in many ways, Roush. I mean, Roush was the 2014 season, the 2013 season were simply fait accompli for Roush Fenway. They didn't do anything. They didn't offer much hope. You're not looking at a lot of top fives. You may be looking at just a couple top tens, right? Go ahead.
Losing Carl Edwards as a driver was huge. I mean, he was their foundation. I mean, they at least won races last year. He was in the chase with Roush Fenway last year in that 99 car. So that was a pretty big blow. They didn't really replace him, you know, like you'd expect. You know, you didn't get another big name type guy. I mean, yeah, you know, Richard Childress was kind of going through it when they lost Harvick, but then, you know, Ryan Newman kind of came in and, you know, filled that void for them last year and was a chase contender and, you know, went all the way to the final, you know, the final four. So, you know, Roush Fenway may just need to, you know, step it up a little bit maybe and you know, replace a Biffle or I don't know if you're ready to necessarily give up on Stenhouse. I mean, he is a younger guy. But he's really not really improved. He's kind of just hit the level he's at, and that's kind of where he is.
He has beautiful hair.
Yeah, he sure did. He's got a mullet. He's got a mullet up there now. Yeah, that's the way we like it, with a mullet on there. Well, you know, it's funny because you're right. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, you got Chris Buescher for Roush Fenway at the Xfinity level. We've got Ryan Reed. He won the Daytona. I believe he won the opening race. That was Roush Fenway. Darryl Bubba, they call him. Darryl Bubba Wallace Jr. running quietly well at like fifth overall in points, and he's a Roush driver. And, of course, he made the jump over from Toyota equipment last year, and now he's running with Roush and does not seem to have missed a beat. And, of course, you know, but talk about a sort of a veteran. There's Elliott Sadler, and, you know, he's in the eighth spot for Roush in the cumulative point standing. So, I mean, Roush and Ford are finding success at the lower level, and I don't think anybody's, you know, unhappy with that. But certainly at the Cup level, it's a much, much bigger deal. And I would think they would really want to see some success and find victory circle and victory lane with somebody in a Roush at the Cup level.
I think you got to give them a little kudos for signing Elliott Sadler. I mean, Elliott Sadler was running for Gibbs in Nationwide.
Yeah, they kind of got him away, didn't they?
Yeah, they kind of snagged him away, and that's not a bad little, you know, veteran type guy to mentor these young guys on their roster that you just mentioned, you know, that's pretty good. That was a pretty good move for Roush, and that's, you know, that's kind of what they need. I think Roush has kind of decided to, you know, all right, we'll just bide our time in Cup, and we're going to build for the future with these guys. And I think that's kind of what they're doing. I mean, they got Elliott Sadler mentoring, and they just got picked up Bubba Wallace this year. The Reed guy that came out of nowhere to win Daytona, nobody even knew who he was.
We had no clue. And boom. unlike a one and done, I guess to my point then, the fact he sits there in the top 10. I mean, you know, he's actually a top 5 guy right now still. So in six race, well, they haven't had six races. They've had one fewer than Cup level. But, you know, in the 5 races, there's this kid still showing up. So I agree. I mean, the future, the horizon glow looks good still for Roush. And, you know, you would think, I guess, one or more of these guys will hopefully be, you know, cream rises to the top. Hopefully they'll get their chance. Not sure what, you know, Biffle's status is. I believe he's in contract. I don't know if he signed extension to contract, but I'd imagine he's sitting still for another.
He signed a three-year deal at the end of last year, I think.
Okay.
He's extended. They're stuck with him for a while.
Right.
They signed some new sponsors, you know, when they lost 3M, and I think one of them was some kind of lawn care product. I forget exactly what it is, but, you know, he signed that, and, you know, I think they're pretty much going to ride him. I don't, you know, I've never been overly enamored with him. The reason Roush is probably loyal to him, I mean, you know, by now everybody's kind of forgotten it, but if you look at Biffle, he came up through the truck series as champion into Xfinity, won that championship, and, you know, forwarded into Cup and kind of just fell down. So, you know, he won a lot of championships for Roush over the years in the lower series, so that's probably why they stick with him, I guess. You know,
yeah.
He's been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I give it to you. Well, here's what. Let's see. We got about it's almost to the top of the hour. We got 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm going to throw one more at you, Brandon, to get us to the top of the hour. But once again, I want to just invite our listeners, if you're out there, if you're breathing, give us a call, 347-826-9964. Climb in and chat with us. Anything on your mind, NASCAR, if you want to throw NHRA in, we're going to be keeping the lines open pretty good till about 8:15, 8:20, because we're going to be looking to cut this thing off by 8:30. So climb aboard. If you have any thoughts or questions, don't hesitate. If you're Skype capable and listening from a computer, hit the Skype button, and that'll bring you in with us as well. Here's what I would do. I don't know. I guess I didn't share it, but you might have seen. There was an article recently listing the free agents that are going to be available following the 2015 season at Cup level. And I just thought I would throw some names at you and tell me if you think, Brandon, that is he a keeper? Is he a sleeper? Does he get a boost or does he get the boot? Okay, let's call it like that, just for fun. I don't know, should I do the, let's put this on, I guess. We'll hit that up there. This will be our opening segment of going over the pit wall. Yeah,
there we go.
Please go to the pit wall. There's anyone out there that can get to the street? I would be very,
whoa. We need to lower that a little bit there, Mark. I can't quite hear you.
It's over now.
There we go.
There we go.
It was kind of overshadowing you there for a minute.
Really? Yeah, well, that's all right. I'm still searching around. All right, well, here we go. Free agent for next year. How about Chip Ganassi? I do like that group. But right now, McMurray, he's got 6 races won. He's been sort of hit or miss thus far. He's run pretty well with Chip Ganassi, and of course he runs with the what was last year's Rookie of the Year, Kyle Larson. The question is, he's 39 now. He's going to be 40. Should Jamie McMurray count on a renewal with Chip Ganassi, or do you think he might be looking for a ride next year?
I would personally, I would like to see that relationship continue. That team, and you know, obviously you have an affinity to them, and we watch them. They seem to be on the upswing as an organization, period. You know, they seem to be, you know, reeling in the past from the Juan Pablo Montoya experience that I don't think ended up the greatest for them. And, you know, now they got Jamie McMurray and Kyle Larson, and they're doing a great job, and I think they have some good chemistry. Because, you know, a lot of times they both run good at the same tracks. They work well together. They share information well. So they should probably keep that intact. You know, I'd like to see that team be one that looks for a third guy, you know, because that I think that's a team that could really benefit from, you know, a third teammate. Because the three car, you know, once you get that three cars, it seems like the information sharing, you know, works out a little better. Because, you know, with just two, you know, it seems to work okay for Penske. But, you know, other than them, you know, most of the teams that, you know, are more cohesive have, you know, the three and four car teams. So I wouldn't mind seeing them keep McMurray. And maybe add a third car.
And add a third car. Okay, so how does this one strike you? Germain Racing runs it's a little one-horse town. They run one vehicle, and it's the number 13. And right now, Casey Mears is the pilot of that 13, and he's been there for quite a few years. He's actually running better this year thus far, Brandon, and I think he had a hot stretch. I don't recall at what point, but he had sort of a hot stretch during the 2014 year, but I think he failed down the stretch. But there's something about Casey Mears that is interesting. And like McMurray, he appears to be younger than he is. He's actually been around a little bit longer than we might think. What do you suppose? Does Germain Racing require Casey Mears, or can they survive without him? And I guess the converse would be true as well. Is Casey Mears got to stay with Germain, or is he a good fit for something like a Chip Ganassi third car?
Well, possibly. Here's going to be the key for that deal. Probably is going to be Geico, their primary sponsor. If Geico, I would imagine that Geico's contract probably coincides with Casey Mears. And, you know, if they have the quote-unquote recognition of liking, you know, continuity and keeping Casey, then you may see that continue. I don't think that one's as vital as Jamie McMurray. I think Casey Mears has been around for a long time. He's had his opportunities. You know, he's never going to be, you know, that guy. He's never going to, you know, he might find a way to luck into a win someday if the rain falls at the right time or something, but other than that, I don't see that. Where Jamie McMurray, you know, is a proven winner. He's won many, many, you know, for many years. So, you know, I just don't. You could see that team, you know, go separate ways. I think. I think the team will survive. I mean, that team's been around for a long time, and this year they switched to, you know, Chevrolet. I believe they're another one of the Satellite Childress teams. So, you know, that's a good start for that team, and maybe they can. You know, we'll see how their year goes. I mean, if they start to run well, you know, Casey Mears has looked good this year, as you pointed out. So, you know, maybe they can start putting something together. You never know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out because, you know, this is what will keep us going after we're really, like, you know, locked into, like, the idea that it's March December and there's no racing coming this week. So we'll be following all these off-team, off-track things, these team changes. I got a hard one here for you. What do we do with Brian Vickers? His contract expires in 2015.
A lot of that's going to depend on his health, I would imagine. You know,
kind of foretells what we were talking about earlier, right?
Right. As you pointed out, that you know, he may choose to step away. I don't think he will. I think he is still committed to doing this, everything I've read. And Aaron's and Janssen Pharmaceuticals, who's, you know, this Exalta blood thinner that he's endorsing, they seem to be sticking with him. So, if he comes back, you know, midway through the season or whatever, I imagine it's going to be a few months. I read he was going to be on the blood thinners for like 3 months, and I would imagine he'd probably need to be off of them for a period of time before they'd let him back in the car because they wouldn't want to risk any, you know, bleeding or internal bleeding in case of an accident. That's probably why they won't let him in the car. So I would imagine if he comes back and has, you know, runs some good races at the end, they might put something together and keep that intact.
Yeah,
you know?
I would agree. I would. I guess, you know, sort of like Kyle Busch's situation. I would expect that if we see Vickers, probably it would be later summer, and you know, maybe get behind the wheel late August, September to try to just get himself reacclimated to actually piloting a vehicle. Well, needless to say, you know, Denny Hamlin's up for contract renewal. I don't think he's going anywhere. You'll agree?
No, actually, I don't think he's going anywhere.
You crazy?
I think he needs a change.
Yeah,
really
he's going to go drive for. He's going to be driving for Waltrip. The 78 of Martin Truex Jr. He's up this year. They're going to kick that guy to the curb. He's terrible, right?
Well, I think it might be the other way around. I think he may be fielding offers from better teams, and Front Row may want to hang on to him.
Once again, let me check my Rolodex. You're right, Chip Ganassi. Let me put something in the tickler file to send over to Chip Ganassi to remind them that Truex might be available. Something I just cooked up for you. What do you think? Number 10, Danica Patrick. You know, it's funny. Haas is branching off into F1 next year. You know, what's the possibility? They take her seat. Okay, they keep the Geico sponsorship to that car. She can then take her sponsorship with them to the F1, where I don't know that they have a presence at all. So they might actually be willing to stay with Patrick as an F1 driver and sponsor her over there with Haas. But in the meantime, keep the 10 car. And once again, I mean, we've got other pilots. Maybe that's the way Haas wants to proceed. Let's get a good stock car driver in that number 10 car. What do you think?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think a lot's going to depend.
Yeah, a lot's going to depend on the sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, the sponsor's going to dictate. I don't know if GoDaddy has the ability to be a global sponsor. They've gone public. She was on Wall Street.
We know they're a publicly traded company, and I don't think it'll be too much further to stretch our imagination and believe that possibly they could go inter-global. I'll throw you a couple more names. Alex Bowman is going to be out there at the end of the year. Tommy Baldwin's deal has run through its completion at the end of this season, as we know it, 2015. The number 38 right now, Front Row Motorsports, David Gilliland. Gilliland's been a long time around. Yep. He's driven with quite a few different teams. He seems content where he is. I don't know. Probably best to keep him where he is, you think, Brandon, if he wants to keep running. I don't think he's hurting. He's not bad as a plate track driver, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Super Speedway, he's pretty good.
A lot of times you'll see with these lower-level teams like this, you'll see a lot of shuffling. You might see a Bowman and Gillian switch rides maybe even. I mean, you might see something to that effect.
Something of that nature, gotcha.
Yeah, trying to get the chemistry, you know. Just, you know, we've tried this for, you know, X number of years. It hasn't worked. Let's try something else.
Right.
You know, with anything, and I hate to keep saying this, but the sponsors seem to dictate a lot anymore. And that could be the big deal for Danica. I mean, you know, GoDaddy may say, hey, we're doing good. We like this. We're going to keep this going. Or they may say, hey, you know, we've done this for enough time now, it's time to move on. So that could happen with a Gillian and, you know, Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman, at least, is a young guy. He's got a lot of potential ahead of him still, you know, that may not be tapped yet. So, you know, he was one of the rookie drivers last year, if I'm not mistaken. So he's, you know, he's still got a, you know, he's not necessarily in the same status as Gillian, who's been around and had many opportunities by now and not, you know, come through. So, you know, there's just some guys who just never make it at the top level. You know, they can, you know, win races at the lower levels, but they just can't get it at the top. And, you know, Gillian may be that type of guy. I don't think, you know, the jury's out on Bowman yet. He's got a few more years to try to put something together, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. And, of course, the last one I didn't mention, Justin Allgaier comes up for renewal his contract as well. Well, there we go. We did a little
the same boat there with all guys.
Yeah,
with,
kind of. Yeah,
he's not been around too long.
We had a lot of rookies last year. That was a heck of a rookie class, as a matter of fact, that we had last year. Six, eight rookies. I forget how many all we had.
Cole
Witt. Yeah,
Kyle
Cole Witt.
Austin Dillon, and all of them all in one row, one year.
Yeah, Parker Kligerman. Oh, actually, he didn't make it, did he? He wound up, I forget where he wound up. I forget if he went to open wheel or I forget what he did to ultimately Parker. They were trying to keep him in a ride, but they weren't quite able to do it.
Oh, no!
Unfortunately. If you're out there, give us a call, 347-826-9964. We're going to bring our own frat house Mike in, and maybe a moment or two. What I guess the final thing before we switch gears and let NHRA come aboard and we talk a little bit of fantasy and some of that other stuff. Let me open this here. Qualifying change, Brandon, for and frat house Mike, you're listening as well, for the super speedways. And I just wanted to get your take on it, and I was going to briefly run through. There's like maybe 5-6 points here I just want to run down for people so we understand qualifying. And tell me if you don't think, or if you do think, that these changes for Talladega qualifying, that'll be the first time we're going to try and use this, May 3rd, are better. Here's how it's going to be at the super speedways for qualifying going forward. I'll tell you how it's going to be. Give me another beer. There will be a first and a final round, okay? All the other track qualifying as we know it has been three rounds of qualifying, consisting of like the field goes to 24, the 24 then go to 12. Your 12 then establish the pole order of 1 to 12. The super speedways, they're eliminating that middle round. You're going to have two rounds only. So you're going to go from a field of whatever it might be, 46 cars. You usually get pretty good tryout for those super speedways. So it might be 46, might be 48 cars, are going to reduce down to 12. And then in round two, you essentially establish your pole order. Okay. The initial selection of all the cars will be determined by a random draw. So teams will not be able to go out and do a run when they want to, but they're going to have to proceed based on the order that is determined by random draw, and that'll be done by NASCAR. The cars are going to be released one at a time. Now, I guess ideally that's going to prevent aerodynamic advantage, or it's going to prevent a car to draft from or for another vehicle. So there will be one at a time. The intervals will be determined by NASCAR. Now, once you're rolling, all the drivers get one timed lap. That's it. Upon completion of the one time lap, they return to their pit stall. If your car spins or makes contact with a fence or a barrier, you mess up your lap, sorry, you don't get a second chance. There will be no time limit at all in doing the rounds. The round ends upon the completion of the final driver's timed lap. Between first and final, there will be a 10-minute period of cool down. The units will be applied, obviously, to the 12 cars that are transferring to that final round. Now, the running order for the final round will be determined by the qualifying order of round one, only in the reverse. So the 12th driver of round one will qualify one. The 11th driver in round one will qualify two, and so forth, et cetera, until, just like in the first round, you get your one timed lap per vehicle, and the round to end at that point after the last driver, in that case it would be round one, the fastest driver, once that timed lap is completed, then it's over. Now, they intend this to be the format that will prevail going forward. Hopefully, you know, there won't be any problems, but should problems arise, it might be changed. But the focus is going to emphasize a return to individual speed and, obviously, driver safety. And they're hoping, you know, if this works out, there'll be no more issue. They haven't determined, of course, the qualifying format for Daytona 2016 because, of course, Daytona is and by itself, its own world. So, you know, all bets are off with Daytona next year. But I kind of like it. I don't know what you think. I think it makes sense rather than the past.
There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
I would agree with you. I think the pack qualifying at their stricter play tracks kind of turned out to be a bit of a bust. I mean, we were seeing these guys trying to, you know, just sit there as the clock ran down, trying to get the, you know, the last flying lap in just in time, and half the field didn't even get a lap the one time. It was just stupid.
Right.
I don't
then
know
you had
why
all
the drivers
people wrecking.
Did that.
Oh my goodness,
yeah.
Hamlin
yeah.
wrecked, and
slow
Boyer
guys
wrecked
coming
and...
up in front of the fast guys. Yeah.
Actually,
it just turned out to be a bit of a disaster. I kind of like the way they've made the two rounds of single lap qualifying for the top 12. I think that'll be a good way to go. And, you know, they had to change it. It wasn't working. Especially, you know, when you had all the big drivers criticizing it after Daytona.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have that.
Saying it's an embarrassment. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
you
I mean, well,
that.
Fox Sports themselves had to go.
We will now pause for station identification. This is NUTS.
Yep.
Yeah, and it really was. It really was. Okay, well, here, Brandon, I'll tell you what. Shall we pull in Frat House Mike? Because
sure.
What we want to do is we want to take maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, and maybe we can chat Frat House Mike a little bit of NHRA. They are kicking it up out there at the Strip. However, because we're advanced of everything, I mean, there's really not much to tell us about yet. But you can tell us what's going to happen and certainly recap what happened 2 weeks ago.
I'm still trying to figure out all that qualifying stuff that you just ran down there. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. My eyes were glazing over. I couldn't figure it all out. I don't know. I needed a slide ruler or something to figure out what.
Did you ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
Well, I don't know. I'm
basically,
not sure.
They just took the old qualifying and
obviously
the new qualifying.
Obviously, we've
got to
do a better job.
I would think so. Yeah,
and
go ahead,
put it
friend.
Together. They just kind of put it together. I mean, because they never, before it was a one-time lap and you were done. Well, now the top 12 advance to another round and they get another one-time lap. So they're trying to keep it unique, I think. And you mm-hmm. know, they you got to give them NASCAR props at least for acknowledging it wasn't working.
Well.
The other way. At
we
the
have said we have said here for years.
Well, why wreck
right
your
here?
Car? You go out right. into qualify and you're wrecking your car and you're bringing a backup vehicle, never
well,
intended
yeah.
to do the
sure.
running. I mean, the whole thing was just stupid, really.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And we have said here, right here on Frat House Sports for years, because, I mean, let's get it straight. We've been on for years. That NASCAR responds to issues faster than any other sports league that we know of. So, no, I give them props for that, but I don't know. It just, I guess, I was trying to follow it. I guess it'll be easier to follow when I actually see it in place. But anyhow, does anybody know? I mean, I was trying to follow qualifying for tonight, for tomorrow, actually, for tomorrow night's race, Sprint Cup. I'm not sure, but I think Kurt Busch got the pole. Does
yeah, Kurt
know?
Busch won. Yes, he won the Coors Light pole. Yes, he did.
Yep, right, you got Kurt Busch and Harvick, followed by Keselowski, Casey
yep.
Kane, Jimmy Johnson,
Johnson's
Logano,
up there. Mm-hmm.
Newman, Menard, Kyle Larson's 9.
Yahoo!
Murray's your
Larson
10.
And Jamie Mack right in a row.
There
I love
go.
That 9
My
and 10.
Goodness
and
gracious.
Come on, bring it on. There's Tony Stewart. I'm happy to see Stewart in there.
Oh, man, I just dropped them off my fantasy
Truex,
team.
Truex, 15, not bad. Edwards, 16, 17, Kenseth, 18, Hamlin. Look at all those Toyota guys just falling right in order.
Oh,
all side by each. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. This should be fun. I mean, this should be a lot of fun. Now, what the other thing, of course, we haven't seen race condition. We won't have race condition until tomorrow because none of what we've done thus far in the last day or so has been evening racing. So, you know, all bets are off, actually. This is fun, but who really knows what it's going to be like tomorrow night? At any rate, tell us what's coming up on NHRA. What can you,
well,
what
you know,
can
it's,
fill us
yeah.
in on?
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, you were bringing up the Indiana thing, and I just did a little research here real quick. Brandon, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are a heck of a lot of teams, excuse
well,
me, that came... That came
yeah.
from Indiana or come from Indiana. John Force Racing, of course, headlines them all. Morgan Lucas Racing comes from Indiana. Both Tony Pedregon and the cruiser Pedregon come from Indiana. The old Allanabi Racing comes from it came from Indiana. And then, of course, you got Lucas Oil Motorsports, and Antron Brown himself is a native of Indiana. So there is a heck of a lot of Indiana influence in drag racing. It's a very interesting kind of crossover. I can't explain it. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a Midwestern thing or whatever, but...
I think Indianapolis is just more centrally located to all the tracks. Kind of like Charlotte is the hub of NASCAR. Indianapolis kind of is the hub of, you know, the drag strips. Because a lot of the drag strips are out in the Midwest, you know, and you get the West Coast swing, and they have a couple in Texas. So, you know, I think it's just more centrally located for the teams where, you know, Charlotte is more conducive for NASCAR. And I think it just kind of worked out that way.
But anyhow, I just wanted to bring it up since it had been mentioned earlier in the program. Now, as far as this week goes, we're not in the Midwest. We're out in Sin City. We're out at the strip at Las Vegas. And as Uncle Mark just pointed out there, well, unfortunately, we will not know what the final ladder looks like until after the second round of qualifying tomorrow. So we really don't know exactly where things are going to stand at that point, but we did have four wide racing 2 weeks ago. And at that one, well, in Top Fuel, Antron Brown came ahead of everybody else. We were just bringing up Antron. Boy, I was thrilled to see that Clay Milliken got in there. He got into the final round, didn't win it, but boy, he got into the final round in a four wide race there. 2 weeks ago. So Antron Brown won one 2 weeks ago. Over in Funny Car, Fast Jack got his first win of the season. Everybody had been sitting around going, Jack Bettman, this has been a mess. Jack Bettman has been a mess for the better part of, I guess what, Brandon? It seems like almost two full seasons.
Yeah, well, they stole what's-his-name from
yeah,
John
exactly.
Force.
Exactly.
While they were in a championship run, no less,
yep,
the crew chief, and now, you know, is finally paid off to them.
I guess. He got himself his first Wally for this season, and so we'll see. That actually propelled him up nicely into the top 10 on the leaderboard. But there you got Jack Beckman. Del Worsham came in second over on that one. We'll talk about John Force here in a second. Over in Pro Stock, Larry Morgan won it 2 weeks ago. Greg Anderson came in second. Vincent Nobile came in fourth. Interesting look at the leaderboard right now. Now, mind you, we're only going into, I believe it is our sixth heat of the entire season. So we still have a long way to go. Antron Brown right now sits atop in Top Fuel, 26 points ahead of Tony Schumacher. That's all going to change up. Don't even give that a thought. That's all going to change up. I'm going to be curious to see whether Clay Milliken, because Clay Milliken has been somebody that we have watched has actually dropped out only because of sponsorship issues in past seasons. So it's going to be interesting to see whether, in fact, that stays the way it is right now. Over in Funny Car right now, Del Worsham sits at the top right now. He is number one. Matt Hagen, number two. Ron Capps, number three. John Force right now is three. Is 13th. He's three below the line, the cut line, if, in fact, we were going to go into the countdown. But, again, we'll see how that changes. I can imagine John is going to get, at some point or another, he's going to get a bit pissed off, and you're going to see some changes being made if things don't start changing there.
Oh, good for you.
I know. Over at Pro Stock, Jason Lyons at the top right now. There you have it. That's that's where we sit right now. If we were coming on a regular Sunday morning, we would know what the ladder looked like, but I don't know at this point. We only had one round of qualifying today. Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Go.
This is all we can tell you, folks.
Well, they're probably running it now, actually, because
they are actually
being in Vegas.
Qualifying is going right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I was saying, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I had said to Fred House Mike going in, I said, well, geez, you know, I mean, and he was explaining, you know, well, part of it's going to run. Some of it will run today, you know, then some will run tomorrow. Actually, some ran yesterday, but really the latter isn't established until Saturday. But, well, this is the fun of doing the Friday night stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's
exactly.
great about it. I mean, you know,
yeah, well,
we keep it real, you know. We keep it real. We keep it live. We keep it going. We hope. Anyway, there's just a few minutes to go. You know, I didn't want to take a late call, but we haven't had any. So I'll put the number out there again, 347-826-9964. We're going to shift over and talk some fantasy sports. So if you're one of our fantasy group players, or if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you would like to climb in and chat a little NASCAR in our last few minutes, feel free to do that, but you must do that now, 347-826-9964. We've had our Eat My Dust contest going for quite a few weeks, and of course we have our NASCAR fantasy in-house, our fantasy group. What do we got, like 30 players, right, men, that we go up against? Who's in the lead but our own Frat House sports friend, Kimber Sue, at 1,764 points, right behind her, though, right there. I mean, right there. Is Brandon Behane's Destroyer, 333 Destroyer, 1701 and change. We've got Father Hain, Father Bill up there is in third. We've got the Little Beast. That's our very good friends from Texas. I believe that's Nick Wilson. He's in fourth place. And Spring Rubber in the rear, got her loose, is our own sidekick. He won't be with us, though, tonight, will he? Unfortunately, men, sidekick is on a sidetrack, so we're not going to catch sidekick tonight. Yeah, actually, our thoughts are with sidekick while he's going, while he's on agenda. So, you know, hopefully we'll have sidekick back with us next week. But what I want to do, we'll just open it up here because we only have, you know, maybe 5 minutes to go. Whoever would like to share with us the fantasy, you know, here's the fantasy key for this week. Feel free to do that. And, of course, in the Eat My Dust picks, Brandon, you're at the top there with 15 points. Sidekick's got 15. You both have been doing well picking the race winner. And, of course, I'm in third and Frat House Mike holding up the rear in fourth. Mm-hmm. So how do we like it this week? Who's the winning driver in Texas?
Well, I gotta tell you, I gentlemen, have I mentioned before? I got a really good team here this week. Listen, you gotta like this team.
Are you crazy?
I'm an excellent driver.
I am. I'm gonna give you my fantasy team first and then I'll give
you my Oh good for you.
Hey, I haven't even looked at the qualifying positions yet, but I'm going to tell you, here's where I'm going. I got Jimmy Johnson, I got Denny Hamlin, I got Carl Edwards, I got Martin Truex, and I got David Ragan. That's a strong team. That's a strong team. I got Jimmy Johnson winning it in our Eat My Dust.
Wow. Jimmy Johnson, you're a mercenary.
Mm-hmm. Darn right. It's about time. I got to be.
Did I hear Truex?
Yep.
You're doing right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
Truex
right.
is there. Yep.
Okay. Well, here, I'll give you mine if you want here quick. I'm going to go. I'm sticking with my Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick duo at the front. They've been doing good. I'm in second. Sooner or later, I'm going to break free. I'm adding Brad Keselowski back in. I should have done it last week, but I had to stick with Junior because he had won at Martinsville before. But I'm putting Keselowski back in. I've had Reagan on pretty much all year. He's going up in dollars so much it's hard to get rid of him. And this week we're going to put somebody new on, and I'm going to give that Casey Mears a shot just because, you know, he's been running good and he's running that Childress, you know, satellite team. And I think that might just, you know, get some decent fantasy points. I'm not saying he's going to win the race, but he might get, you know, a top 15. Be a nice little fantasy boost. My dust, I'm sticking with Kurt Busch. I think he's just determined to win a race. NASCAR kind of put it to him at the one track where he should have won. You know, maybe you could make an argument they didn't feel like dealing with the outcry if he won from, you know, the domestic violence groups. But you know what? If you're going to let him on the track, don't try to, you know, coerce the outcome, in my opinion. But anyway, mm-hmm. I'm sticking with him. I think the man's on a mission, and, you know, he's driving like nobody's business. So, you know, between him and Harvick, you can't go wrong right now. So, but I'm going to stick with Kurt Busch as my dust.
Okay, got it. And we just got a message from our own sidekick, Kurt on the pole with Harvick on the front row, which is very nice, and that's right, because he's obviously keeping up with what's going on in the real world. Okay, so you're going, Brandon, with the 41 car of Kurt Busch, Eat My Dust. Frat House Mike said he's going with Jimmy Johnson, I believe, on the 48. Yep. Who did we say? Who is our sidekick's pick?
He didn't give us an exact answer yet. He did mention Harvick.
Eat My Dust was Harvick.
He's got Harvick. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So we're going with the Harvick with the four. All right. Well, I don't know. Nobody really cares what my team is, right?
No. Come on. Give us the roster.
Wait a minute. Are you in 26? Because I'm in 26.
Oh, dude, I'm in 39th, and we only have 30.
Wow.
I owe for next year. At this point, I owe for next year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. Better. Yeah. I'm going to need to do it. Yeah, I'm sort of doing like what NFL owners do in football. I'm
There's
taking
the second.
Stand down the street, and I'll pay that cap hit. I got a cap hit. Push that off to 2018.
You're tanking? Are you tanking on purpose?
I'm afraid I'm going to need both these beers right now. I can't have any.
No!
Nothing else to say. All right, here's what it is. I'll give it to you so even you can understand.
There you go.
Uncle Mark is going to go with Kyle Larson, Kurt Busch, Casey Kane, Martin Truex Jr. I didn't have much left. I'll roll the dice with Jeb Burton to maybe get some place differential. I like Larson and the Chevy. I like the kid to get his first win coming back from a haunting, whatever it was last week, 2 weeks ago from Martinsville. I like Larson and the Chevy to win the whole darn thing on Saturday night. How's that?
Well,
great?
Just to give you a little heads up here,
you're taking
Mark.
Larson on your Eat My Dust?
Yeah, I'm going to do it after all.
Uncle
I was going
to
switch up.
To...
I actually, I'll tell you what. Yeah, real quick, Brandon. I like Kenseth. But I'm going to stick with Larson anyway. But I'd like Kenseth at this track. He's underrated at Texas. Go ahead, Brandon.
You do need to reevaluate your Jeb Burton pick. Him and Brendan Gaughan were the two drivers who went home. I realized qualifying was going on during our show.
I know what
so,
I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll put me down for Chris Buescher. Because
okay.
I know the dollars will swap out that way. And I do like Buescher. And I don't know why I swapped out, but you know what it was? I messed around and I wanted Kane on there then. So that kind of changed up the whole flow. And then
right,
I looked
right.
at my bottom feeder. So I went real, real low dollars for the bottom feeder. And Jeb Burton was like the cheapest driver. So I think I can swap out Chris. I'll get Chris in there for, the differential. Wow. Okay. We've come to close to the end. The only thing I do want to do, I want to do my proper shout outs. And then if we have a minute or so, we can all say goodnight together. But I want to invite everyone out there who's listening. Please join us tomorrow, Saturday, from 2 to 4 p.m. right here at your Frat House Sports Radio Network. We do have a wonderful program hosted by our own Frat House Mike, Frat House Saturday. And what we do, Frat House Mike will give you a nice retrospective of the entire week of broadcasting, different highlights and snippets of guests and fun things that have gone on in the world of Frat House Radio Network. And I wouldn't be surprised you won't get an opinion or two as well from Frat House Mike for that. Tuesday nights then, during the week, join us for Frat House Mike's own MLB program, Cleanup Hitters. He has co-hosts over there, Caleb Ketic and Sean Hagan. It's great stuff for all the MLB fans. On Thursday nights, our flagship program, Frat House Sports Show, features the whole gang right here. We generally have guests. There's a lot of chatting and a lot of sports that we cover, and we do it all for you on Thursday night. And finally, of course, next Sunday, our regular time. We'll be back with Race Trim Motorsports Hour. We, myself, sidekick, hopefully, Brandon, Frat House Mike. And there it is, gentlemen. Is that it? I think we've got to get out.
I think we hit it all.
All right. Enjoy the race, folks. Come back and find us next week. And please, whatever you do, have the next beer for me.
There we go. Time to go racing.
That's it, boys.